Amen. You know, sometimes we sing songs, especially at Christmas time. We sing songs that are really familiar to us, and like that song's one of my favorite Christmas songs. It is my favorite Christmas song. I love to sing that song, and sometimes we sing those songs, and we sing the words to those songs, and we forget sometimes the power of those songs. I don't know if you know this, but it really wasn't that long ago that in many churches, the singing of that song was not okay. It wasn't allowed to be sung in church. Did you know that? And the reason was because on that last verse, it said that the slave is our brother, and that in the name of Jesus, all oppression would cease. And because it said that, it was too controversial for many churches, and they wouldn't sing it. Did you know that? And I just want to say together this morning that I think it's easy maybe for us to say today, maybe we need to remember this in our hearts, but it's easy for us to say today that there's really nothing controversial about saying in the name of Jesus, all oppression will cease. I don't think it's that controversial at all. And I certainly don't think it's controversial for us to acknowledge that we're brothers. And all of us are brothers, no matter where we came from, no matter what we look like, no matter what our ethnicity or our cultural background or who we are, right? All of us in Christ, because of Christ, we can be brothers. That's what the Advent is about. But that song, y'all, it was written in a world, for a world that is not as it should be. And the confession of the song all the way through, and particularly in that last verse, the confession of the song is that, look, this world is full of brokenness. It's full of oppression. It's full of violence. It's full of heartache. The world is not as it should be. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke them into being. And as he finished with each part of his creation, each section of his creation, he looked at what he had done and he said what? Does anybody remember? It is good. That's what he said. It's right. It's whole. It's perfect as I created it. But then our sin, our rebellion, our insistence on doing things our way took God's perfect creation and allowed sin to enter into it. The sickness of sin infected this world. And the world that we live in today is not right, not as it should be. You already heard this morning that the word, the Hebrew word that we translate peace is the word shalom. And it means whole. It means as it should be. That's what the word means. And so when we talk about peace this morning, it's fair for us to acknowledge that we're talking about something that feels far away, not real. The world is not as it should be. And it's hard, y'all. And this time of year, it's really hard because we're talking about all these emotions like hope and joy and peace and love and faith, all these things that we should be feeling. And as we've been going through this series, we've been talking about how sometimes it's even more difficult during this time of the year because we're talking about peace. But the reality is that some of us understand this morning, we don't feel peaceful. We don't feel like everything is right. We feel like everything's broken. Our hearts are full of grief and heartache and hurt, and we have experienced the full force of the brokenness of this world. A few years ago, I was actually thinking about this, and I was thinking about how there are some people at Christmas time that it's really painful, really difficult for them because all these things that everyone around them, the world around them, tells them that they should be feeling, they're not feeling those things. They're not experiencing those things. And I was thinking about how painful and difficult that must be for them. And so I wrote this really weird Christmas song. But about someone maybe who's struggling in that way. And I want to sing it for you this morning so that we can just kind of pause and reflect on the state of our world before we talk about peace. Let's talk about where we are this morning. Let's acknowledge where we are. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, you can go on the events, click on events, and there's sermon notes in there. The words to this song are actually in there, so you can kind of see what it is that I'm singing. But I want to share this song with you, and let's reflect on the world as it is together this morning.
Emory's hard at work on the latest assignment received. His face is bruised and swollen. His arm is in a sling. The children are painting pictures of silver bells in Christmas time. And little baby Jesus, who came into the world to make things right, and all the children's crayon pictures are cast against the silent night. Jolly saints and holy mangers, and golden halos glowing bright, and every sweet angelic face is filled with luminary light and picture-perfect smiles. But Emory's angel cries. Emory closes his eyes and he wishes his picture were real, that the angels staring back at him had the power to touch and heal. He could use a guardian with a flaming sword and awful might to protect him from the demons who sneak into his room late at night. And all the children's crayon pictures are cast against the silent night. Jolly saints in holy mangers and golden halos glowing bright. And every sweet angelic face is filled with luminary light and picture-perfect smiles. They've all got picture-perfect smiles. But Emory's angel cries. Emory hangs his picture up on the classroom wall, and the cacophony of color is dark and gray, alone and small. And he hears some inane statement about the joy the season brings, and he slowly shakes his head and wonders how it must feel to believe. And all the children's crayon pictures cast against the silent night, jolly saints in holy mangers and golden halos glowing bright. And every sweet angelic face is filled with luminary light and picture-perfect smiles. Oh, and all the children stand up straight. They open up their mouths to sing. Drummer boys and flying reindeer, magic snowmen and glad tidings. With perfect skin and matching sweaters, their parents' faces beam with pride and picture-perfect smiles. Oh, they've all got picture-perfect smiles. They've all got picture-perfect smiles. But Emory's angel cries.
Is it okay? Yeah, that's fair. Is it okay for us to say this morning that there are people maybe in this room who have experienced unbelievable heartache and pain in this past year? Is it okay to say that there are people maybe in this room or watching on the live stream this morning who've experienced hurt and abuse? That's exactly what happens to us sometimes in the world. And And so we hear passages like Romans chapter 5, verse 1, where Paul writes this: "Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." And we hear those words and we think, man, that's so awesome. That's so incredible. But it sure doesn't feel that way. It sure doesn't feel like I've been made right. It sure doesn't feel like anybody's given me peace. I'm hurting. I'm in pain. I don't understand. And the contrast between the world as it should be and the world as it is so great that sometimes it's difficult for us to get our heads around it. And this morning, if you and I are going to talk about peace, then I want us to talk about it in the context of the world in which we live. And I want to say to you, if you'd allow me, I want to say to you that in spite of all that may be going on in your life, in spite of all the hurt and the heartache, I believe that you and I can have peace this morning. I believe it's possible. And I know as soon as I say that, it sounds like a cliche, it sounds like a Christmas special or whatever, but I want you to hear me. I believe that he can. And if you'll give me just a few moments, I'd like to talk with you a little bit about how that can happen, about what peace looks like for you and I this morning because of Jesus. Let's look at the passage that we read a little earlier this morning. It's in Luke chapter 2. It begins with verse 25. But I want for us to focus in, if we could, on verses 25 through 28 first. Let's read these passages together. Let's read these verses together this morning. Luke 2, 25 through 28. Here's what the Word of God says. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus as the law required, Simeon was there. Simeon was there. How can we have peace? Well, this morning, friends, I believe that we can have peace because the Spirit is leading. I don't know if you caught that in the passage, but the verse actually says that the Holy Spirit was upon him. It actually the word that's translated there, it actually means that in the Spirit he came into the temple. And so we can have peace this morning when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is active and alive in our lives, when we're led by the Spirit, we can have peace. And I believe that one of the things that we struggle with the most when our hearts are struggling with chaos and confusion and with the disparity of the world as it should be and the world as it is around us, when we're struggling with all of that, one of the things that's happening in our hearts is we're just not walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit like Simeon was in this passage. But when we're walking in the fullness of the Spirit, when we're listening to the Spirit, right? Then the Spirit leads us to peace. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Simeon was led, actually, to the right place at the exact right time because God was going to do something with him. He was open. He was listening. He wanted for the Spirit to speak to him and to guide him. Now, let me say something this morning, and this is a real thing, okay? The enemy of peace is control. And this morning, one of the things that some of us are struggling really, in a really monumental way with in our lives, we're struggling to find peace in our lives. And one of the reasons why we just don't have peace and our hearts always feel chaotic and we always feel like we're in tumult is because we're trying to control everything, because we're trying to order our own lives, because we're trying to make the people around us do what we want them to do, act the way we want for them to act, right? And we're trying to control our lives in our decisions. And the fact of the matter, friends, that the truth is, and Simeon knew this, right? Simeon understood, right, that he didn't have any control over when the Messiah was going to come, over what the Messiah was going to do. He had no control over any of it. And so he didn't even have control over when he was going to die. He understood that he was not going to die until he had seen the Messiah. So he had no control over anything that was going on in his life. He recognized it. He understood it. And he surrendered his control to the Holy God, the Lord God Almighty. And he allowed himself to be led by the Spirit. And I want you to know there's no way that you and I can walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit if we're trying to control our own lives. We can't be filled with the Spirit if we're trying to order our own lives. It doesn't work that way. And for some of us right now in this Christmas season, the thing that we need to get to, the place that we need to get to is a place where we say together, you know what? I've been trying to do this on my own. I've been trying to order my life and control everything in my own strength. That's not working out. I surrender it to you, Lord God. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me your peace. Right? Because the Holy Spirit leads us to peace. But now listen, look, that's not all the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit doesn't just lead us to peace. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be peace. Did you hear that? He works through us in our lives and in the lives of others. He blesses us in the process, but we're not just looking for peace. We're looking to be peace. God has called us to be peace. We're supposed to be ambassadors of peace, introducing people to Christ, who is the source of peace. So when we're led by the Holy Spirit, we don't just receive peace, right? We are peacemakers. We're peacemakers. And Jesus talks about it. There's this section in Matthew chapter 5 where he talks about, here are all of the people. These are all the kinds of people that are blessed by God. And he gets down to Matthew 5, 9, and he says, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. And I wouldn't be being a good pastor this morning if I didn't say to you, and if I didn't say to myself this morning, that the whole point of everything that God is doing in our lives, the whole point is that he wants to make us ambassadors of his peace. He wants to fill us up with his Spirit, and he wants to pour his peace out on the world around us. And let me just say, we talked about what peace means. So here's the way we have to understand that. If we're going to be peacemakers, what that means is that God is going to use you and me to heal his world, to set right things that are broken, to notice and to see the oppression and the injustice and the hurt and the heartache and the sickness of this world, and to move, empowered by his Holy Spirit, to fix it. And so we can all listen to a song together about a young man who's being abused and who's walking through awful, difficult, tragic circumstances. We can all listen to a song like that, and we can allow ourselves to be even moved, right, to the point of tears. But I want you to hear me. The Lord God is not satisfied with our hearts being tender, with our souls being pricked. He's not satisfied with us feeling a little bit of emotion about the plight of certain people in our world. It is the will of the Lord God Almighty that you and I step into the brokenness and the darkness of this world with the light of Christ. It is the will of the Lord God Almighty, that you and I be used to usher in his peace. That's what he wants to do, friends. And if we're going to talk about peace, if we're going to desire peace around Christmas, we have to understand that God has ordained that he would pour his peace out on our world through us. It starts with us. It starts with us. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to do it, right, the Holy Spirit is going to lead us into places where there is darkness, where there is hurt, where there is heartache. He's going to lead us into those places because the Holy Spirit desires that the light of Christ would shine even in those places. That's who we're called to be. It's a great story. short story by a man named Robert Fulghum. He writes, he was on this island, I think it was Malta, but it was the site of one of the most brutal battles in all of World War II. And the island, actually, on that island, thousands, tens of thousands of Allied soldiers and Nazi soldiers died on that island. And there's actually a graveyard out there where the Nazi soldiers and the Allied soldiers are all buried, and they're all buried like right in the same place. And on the island, actually, there's an International Institute for Peace on the island, this author went there because he wanted to be in that place. He wanted to learn about peace, and so he went there and he was listening to them talk about it all. And the person who was talking was a guy who had been lifelong person who pursued peace and justice in the world. And after it was over, he said what every great presenter says: "Anybody have any questions?" You know, and everybody's packing their stuff up and getting ready to leave. You know, because no one ever really has questions, right? No one ever does. But one student in the back, you know, it was the smart aleck one. It's probably a person like me. One person in the back raised his hand and said, "Yeah, I got one." He's like, "What is it?" He says, "What is the meaning of life?" Everybody kind of laughed and chuckled. It was obviously a joke, right? The guy laughed and kind of nodded his head, reached into his pocket, and he pulled out a little mirror about the size of a quarter. He said, "You know what this is?" He said, "When I was a boy on this island, the Nazis had taken it over. We're surrounded by war and conflict, and a Nazi motorcycle had wrecked, and the rearview mirror of the motorcycle had shattered and broken. And I was a boy, and I was walking around, and I found it." And he said, "I picked up this little piece of glass, ground it down into a circle. He keeps it with him everywhere he goes." He said, "I think this is the meaning of life. Because I can take this little mirror right here if I want. And I can go to even the darkest places. And I can reflect the light of the sun into even the darkest of places." He said, "That's what I think the meaning of life is. That's what I believe we're supposed to be, people who reflect the light of the sun into even the darkest places. If we talk about peace at Christmas, we have to talk about the calling that God has placed on our lives to be light in a dark world. That's what the Spirit wants to lead you to this morning. We can have peace because the Spirit's leading us, but we can also have peace because God can be trusted." In verse 28, it says, "Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and he praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I've seen your salvation, which you prepared for all people. He's a light to reveal God to the nations, and he's the glory of your people, Israel.'" God had a purpose for Simeon's life. God had promised Simeon that he was going to get to see the Messiah. And this Messiah, we've talked about this several times over the course of Advent, this Messiah had been promised 400 years of promise, right? 400 years earlier, these promises had been made, over 400 years for a lot of them. And so everyone, all of Israel, been waiting patiently for the coming Messiah. And they have been working so hard to trust that God's word would be proven true. And so here's Simeon. Here's Simeon who's been waiting faithfully. God told him, "You won't die until you see the Messiah. I have a purpose for you, Simeon." He trusted that purpose. He trusted God's word to him. He spent his whole life looking for the fulfillment of God's promise to him. God had a plan for rescuing his world. And Simeon trusted God's character. His love is unfailing. His word is true. Simon believed it. And he spent his whole life looking for it. And I want to say to you this morning that the same is true for you and I. Look, God has a plan for your life. He's got a plan for you. God is redeeming this world. And here's the thing. God's word will come to pass. God can be trusted to do what God says he will do. And the way to peace this morning is to understand that, to remember that, to understand that we need to surrender our lives to Christ so that he can lead us, right? And we need to trust that God is going to do what God says he will do, that his word will be fulfilled in us. That's the way to peace. Because we understand, right? Peace is not something we create. It's not a feeling that we have. Peace is the work of God. And I know, when we're facing difficult and painful circumstances, it's really hard to continue to trust that God is good. And sometimes we even wonder about it. And I want you to hear me say something. If you would, I know, I always hesitate to speak into people's lives because I understand that what you're going through, I don't want to minimize where you are this morning. I don't want to minimize what you're facing this morning. But I do want to say that I have experienced and have stood face to face with my own really dark and really difficult times. In fact, just even in the past year, our family has walked through some really difficult, really painful circumstances. The kind of circumstances that make you wonder, is God good? Is he good? How can this happen if God is good? How can we have to work through this, walk through this, if God is good? We've asked those questions, friends. And the only thing, as I stand before you this morning, the only thing I know to say to you is that God has proven to us that he is, in fact, good and that he can be trusted. We've seen it. Now listen, does that mean everything's okay? Does that mean our hearts aren't broken? Does that mean that we don't grieve, that we don't mourn? Absolutely not. It doesn't mean any of that. Does that mean we understand what has happened? Does that mean we understand why people that we love are no longer here? Does it mean we understand it? No, we do not understand it. I will never understand it. But I know that God is good, and I know that he can be trusted. He's proven it to me over and over again. And I'm not asking you to take my word for it. I'm asking you to place your trust in Almighty God so that he can prove it to you as he's proven it to me. The Spirit is leading. God can be trusted. And finally, Christ is present. Listen, Simeon was there. Listen to this. He took the child in his arms and he praised God. He took the child in his arms. Y'all, Simeon he wasn't talking about peace in some philosophical way. He wasn't talking about peace as an ideology or as a feeling or anything else. Listen, Simeon was holding peace in his arms. He was looking down into the face of peace. He felt the warm presence of peace pressed against his body. He was holding it in his arms. And y'all, that's what Advent is about. That fancy word, right? That fancy word Advent that means coming, right? That means showing up, right? That's what we're talking about during this season. This is what Christ has done, right? God is not on his throne a billion miles away overlooking the earth. That's not who God is. That's not who God ever desired to be. Always throughout history, God wanted a tabernacle with his people. In Genesis, he walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. And then with Abraham, he revealed himself to Abraham, made a covenant with Abraham, and then with his chosen people Israel, he caused his spirit to go with them as a pillar of fire and as a pillar of smoke. He caused his name to dwell among them. God has always desired that his presence would dwell among his people. And so finally and ultimately, his only son Jesus put on the flesh, put on the skin of a human being, and he came to live in this world just like us, because so that God could say, I am with you, Emmanuel. God is with us. Jesus is not a long way away. He's not a story that we hear. He's not a religious practice or an ideology that we follow. Jesus is alive. Jesus is real. Jesus is present in our world, and he's present in our pain, and he's present in our sufferings. And so we don't have to talk about peace as this thing that we hope to obtain. We can talk about peace as it's pressed against our bodies. We can talk about peace as we hold it in our arms. We can talk about peace as the very presence of Almighty God flows through us. That's what Advent is. Jesus is peace. There have been a lot of amazing moments in my life that had changed me forever. The moment that I met Amy. The moment that my children were born. Those moments. But I'm telling you, the moment that I met Jesus is the most powerful, transformative, amazing experience of my life. And everything goes back to that. I'm not standing up here this morning as a pastor talking to you about religious ideas or religious practices. I'm not trying to get you to buy into some kind of a way of living or some type of liturgy or ritual. I'm not trying to get you to do any of that stuff. I'm trying to introduce you to the person of Jesus. I want you to meet my friend, because when I met him, it changed everything about who I am. And I'm not talking about an ideology. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm not talking about a doctrine. I'm talking about the person of Jesus Christ, who is present and real within me, and he can be within you. That's what Advent is. Okay, I know what you're saying. Okay, Brad, that's all. I've heard that over and over again, about a billion times in my life, Brad. You're talking about all of this fancy stuff, and it sounds really great, but here's the problem. My life stinks right now. My life is full of heartache and hurt and pain. How in the world am I supposed to live in peace when nothing in my life or in my world right now feels like peace? What do I do? I've heard enough of you telling me, right, of what peace is or how it works or whatever. I need for you to tell me what I'm supposed to do right now, because I don't feel peace. Let me share a couple things with you. And I want you to know, I don't have all the answers. Don't find answers from me. I want you to go to Scripture and seek Scripture out and know Christ and let him reveal it to you. But here's some advice that I would give to you this morning. The first thing I want you to know is that character matters more than circumstances. Let's learn from Simeon about peace, about how to live in peace when the world we live in does not appear to be peaceful. In verse 25, at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. So there's a few things that we need to understand about Simeon. The first thing is that Israel, at the time that we just read this passage of Scripture, at this time, Israel was under Roman authority, was under Roman rule. The world that Simeon lived in was not peaceful at all. The Romans were the power. They were the bully on the block. They ruled with really cruelty and oppression. And they always wanted to talk about Pax Romana, which was the peace that Rome had brought, but the fact that through fear, intimidation, and cruelty, the people who ruled over Israel were insane, literally crazy, and they did all kinds of awful things to the people of Israel. Simeon was not born into a world that was peaceful. Simeon was born into a world that was broken, and it had been broken for a long time, and he's waiting on the promise of God, and he didn't see peace, y'all. He's looking around for peace everywhere, but the world was not being made right. But there were some things that Simeon chose in these moments when he was overwhelmed at the brokenness of the world he lived in. He had to remind himself many times, I'm sure, that God's will is accomplished by God's power in God's timing. Let me say that one more time, because I feel like maybe somebody needs to write that down. God's will is accomplished by God's power in God's timing. And I'm sure he had to remind himself of that. But in the meantime, how did Simeon act? What did he do? Well, the first thing that we see in this passage is that Simeon loved God. He was devout, right? He loved God. His life was characterized by faith in God. He trusted God. And I'm sure there were lots of times where he felt like giving up. But he didn't, because he believed God. He trusted God. He was devout. He loved God. I say to you this morning, listen, some of you this morning are on the verge of giving up. You've been trying. You've been working so hard to believe in the goodness of God, to trust God. And you're on the verge of giving up because life, it just feels like life just keeps battering you. And I want to say to you, if you'd allow me, I want to say to you, please don't give up. Please don't give up. God is good. God is moving. God is at work. He's at work all around you. God can be trusted. And hear me, His peace is coming. Don't listen to me, right? Listen to the word of God. His peace is coming. His peace is coming for you. Don't give up. Simeon loved God. So it's time, maybe we need to ask ourselves this morning, am I choosing to trust God right now? And notice I said choosing, because trust is always a choice. And some of us need to remember that. We need to choose this morning that we're going to trust God. Am I choosing to trust God? So if you're feeling overwhelmed by the chaos, the hurt of this world, if you're not feeling peaceful this morning, start with this: love God. And then how about this? Love. And Simeon was righteous. That word righteous, it means that he lived in right relationship. He lived in right relationship with God. He lived in right relationship with people. Simeon was righteous. That means he loved God and he loved people. And when we're struggling, Lord, when we're feeling like everything's crazy, when we're feeling like peace is not something that we could even experience, right? It's good for us to remember that the way that we should act, even in the midst of those circumstances, is to love people. In the midst of Simeon, in the midst of his wondering when God was going to move, he chose to live in right relationship with the people who were around him. He chose to love others. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, friends, then even when our lives are tumultuous, God will use us to bring his peace. He will rescue others through us. So there is peace in that. There's peace in that as well. I want you to think this one. I want you to think about Jesus. I want you to think about Jesus in the week before his death. So he knows that he knows that in just a few days, he's going to be crucified. He's going to die a horrible, painful death. He knows what he's going to have to endure. He's already been talking to his disciples about it. He knows that that's what's coming for him. And then in Matthew chapter 21, verse 14, he's in the temple. And he just cleared it out, right? He just cleared it out. This is my father's house. He made it a den of thieves, right? And then in verse 14, this is what he says. This is Jesus in the midst of the week that's leading up to his death. Knowing what's coming, this is what Jesus does. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. In the midst of chaos and hurt and heartache, in the midst of grief that culminates with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's distraught, he says, my soul is crushed to the point of death. He's sweating drops of blood. In the midst of all of that knowledge, Jesus pauses and he allows the sick to be brought to him so that he could heal them. And friends, I want to say to you this morning, if you're struggling with peace this morning, if you're struggling to understand how you're supposed to live, how you're supposed to act when it feels like your world is so unpeaceful, so chaotic, let me suggest, hey, love God, but love others. Allow the Holy Spirit to use you to heal other people. Live into your calling. Somebody here knows that the Lord has called them to foster a child like the one we sang about earlier, to foster a kid who has seen nothing but abuse and hurt and neglect and heartache in their lives. Someone's here supposed to take one of those children, maybe multiple of those children, into your home so that you can be the peace of God for them, so that you can be healing for them. God wants to bring them peace, and he's going to use you to do it. And even though your life feels chaotic and crazy and tumultuous and full of heartache and pain right now, the Lord God says, well, I'll tell you what I want you to do. Be faithful to me. Usher in my peace. Somebody here this morning knows someone who's struggling with addiction. They're broken. They're lost. And the Lord God has said to you, you are to be the person who reaches out to them, who moves in their life, who gets them help and healing. I want to usher my peace into their lives through you. Somebody here this morning knows of a person who is just struggling with mental illness, or they're struggling with despair or depression, and the Lord God has led you into their lives. And this morning, if you're not feeling peaceful, the Lord God says, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you be peace? Why don't you be peace to my people? He wants to use you to bring healing and peace into their lives. Some of you know of a marriage that's struggling. You know of a couple that's going through difficult and painful times, and the Lord has said to you, all right, here's what you're supposed to do. Speak truth, speak peace into that relationship. Be healing for them. And some of you, the person that you know is struggling, that you know is hurting, that you know is going through something awful and painful and difficult this morning, some of you, it's your spouse. And the Lord is saying to you this morning, you are supposed to be my healing for her. You are supposed to be my hands and feet for him. My healing comes through you. My peace comes through you. And today's the day that you stand up and you say, no, I don't feel like there's peace. Yes, I feel like everything's chaotic. Yes, I even feel distant from God. But I understand what God has called me to do. And I know where he's placed me. And I will be his peace. I will be his peace in my family. We love God, we love others, and we look for his promises. Simeon eagerly awaited the coming of the Messiah. He was looking for it, he was expecting it. He couldn't wait. He couldn't wait to see what God was going to do. The truth is, friends, that God is on the move. He is at work. He's at work in your life. He's at work in my life. He's at work in the world all around us. The problem is often you and I, we walk through our lives with blinders on and we don't see it. We don't notice it. We're not aware of the way that God is working. But friends, he's working. He's doing something. And maybe what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to act in the middle of a life that feels very unpeaceful, maybe what we're supposed to do is to look for the work of God in the world around us. Eagerly anticipate it. I'm amazed sometimes at how we walk in and out of the doors of this place on a Sunday morning with absolutely no expectation of anything happening. But just another thing that we do, walk in, sing some songs, sit through a talk, walk out. I want for us to be people who are eagerly awaiting the coming of the Messiah. In all of our lives and everything that we do, I want for us to be a people when we walk in the doors of this place on Sunday morning, we come in here expecting, man, what's the Lord God going to do today? Because I know he's going to do something. Who is he going to heal today? Who is he going to restore to right relationship today? What marriage is he going to make whole? What child is he going to restore to him? Who is going to make a commitment to serve God, to surrender their lives to God today? I know the Holy Spirit is going to do something today. I can't wait to see it. Where is it? Where is it? And what does he want to do with me? How does he want to use me to do it? I want us to be a people whose eyes are wide open. We can't wait to see what God is going to do. We look for what he's doing. And no, man, our vision is not perfect. And yes, we do. It is hard for us to see what the Lord God is doing because, you know, we need spiritual glasses sometimes, y'all. But the truth is, he's working, he's moving. And he wants us to see it. He wants us to look for it. Look for it this morning. Look for God's promise. I was living in Abilene. My music career was over. It was a colossal failure, like on a scale never seen by the people that worked with me before, you know. I had this thing that I had thought I was committing my whole life to, that this was where God was going to lead me, and I watched it crash and burn in spectacular fashion. Living in Abilene, I don't know what I'm going to do next. I don't know. I was upset, angry, even at God. You know, I didn't really feel, I had spent, you know, 2 years touring. I saw my wife and I saw Carson, on the average, I saw them 6 days out of every month for almost 2 years. And so here I was trying to reintegrate back into our family, and that was hard. They had figured out how to do things without me, right? And so here I am trying to reintegrate back into my family. It was hard. It was painful. I felt lost. I felt like, what was I going to do with my life? I didn't know what I was going to do. I was lost. I was angry. I was frustrated. I didn't feel peace. And God led me to some people. who just encouraged me and who just loved me, who reminded me that my job wasn't to have it all figured out. My job wasn't to control. My job was to allow the Holy Spirit to fill me and lead me. My job was to trust God was at work, to trust that He was good. My job was to look for what He was doing around me. That season of my life ended up being one of the seasons where I grew the most in my spiritual walk with the Lord. I saw God do amazing things in my life, in the life of my family. I watched Him literally move all kinds of crazy mountains to put us in position to serve Him next. Miracle upon miracle. And so I know what it feels like to be anxious and afraid. I know what it feels like to be lost and angry. Hear me. I know that Christ is peace. And I know He wants to be peace for you this morning. Let me pray for you. Father, I lift up my friends, my spiritual family before You this morning, Lord. I pray that You would speak to them. And I know there are people gathered in this place. I know there are people watching on the live stream this morning who they're struggling, Lord. They don't feel any kind of peace, Lord. They feel just torn up, Lord, hurting, grieving this morning. And they need a touch from You. God, I pray that You would give them the courage this morning to just turn their eyes to You and to surrender themselves to You. Lord, be their peace. And finally, Lord, I ask this. Lord, there's so many of us who we love to sit around and look at the darkness in the world all around us. We're sitting around and we're looking at the darkness in the world all around us. We shake our heads. We're like, oh man, this world is just so terrible. And we shake our heads. And we love to post about it and gripe about it and complain about it on social media, about how bad the world is, about how awful things are, about how far we are from You. But God, I pray that we wouldn't be a people who post about all of that stuff on social media. Instead, Lord, I pray that we would be a people who, empowered by Your Holy Spirit, would stand up and choose to do something about it. I pray that we would be a people who would be moved by Your Spirit to bring Your peace and Your healing into this world. Give us peace and make us peace makers. Only You can do that, Almighty God. Do that in us this morning, please, Jesus. We surrender ourselves to You. In Jesus' name. Amen.